All right, good morning, everybody. Thanks, everybody, for being here. We are going to get rolling with the final Transportation Committee hearing of the session, potentially, most likely. We'll be in that direction. So call the meeting to order. The Transportation Finance and Policy Committee meeting, and there is a quorum present, and today is Thursday, April 18th. All hearings are recorded and live streamed by House Public Information, and so we have minutes from April 16th, and Representative Petersburg, have you had a chance to review the minutes?
Yes, Mr. Chair, and I would certainly approve those minutes as presented.
Thank you so much. We have a motion to approve the minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? The meeting minutes are approved. All right, so today we have one bill on the agenda, and that's the 5242, which is the Transportation Finance Bill. And Chair Hornstein moves that House File 5242 be referred to Ways and Means. And first, we are going to start start with a walkthrough of the bill, and we're going to have Mr. Lee and Mr. Burris walk through the bill for us, the DE. So we'll be referring to the DE1 currently. So, Mr. Chair, do you have anything that you would like to say first as we begin, or should we go to the walkthrough?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I think we should go through the walkthrough and then head on to the amendments.
Beautiful. Thank you. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to be correct on the process, we probably should move the DE before we start talking about it.
So. We're probably correct. Thank you very much for that. Mr. Chair, would you like to move?
Yes, I will move the DE for House File 5242.
So Chair Hornstein moves the DE1 to House File 5242. So Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair, members, I think Mr. Lee is going to start with the
Mr. Lee. Spreadsheet.
Mr. Chair and members, in your packet there should be a portrait size spreadsheet, one page. This is divided up by fund. So the first few lines 1 through 13, are the general fund items contained in the DE and author's amendment. So that's the amendment A6. The first item is $1 million for the Metropolitan Council related to Union Depot Insurance Grant. That's a one-time general fund appropriation. Then there's a one-time $9 million general fund appropriation to MnDOT for small cities. So the gross total for general fund is $10 million. In the bill, though, there's an amendment, or there's a change to the 2023 appropriations for IIJA federal discretionary match. You can see that on line 9. That was the amount appropriated last year. This DE amends that down by $8 million to $208.4 million. So the net total increase in general fund spending proposed under this DE and author's amendment is $2 million, and you can see that on line 13. Then with the author's amendment, the A6 and the base DE, there's a number of trunk highway appropriations. You can see on lines 20 through 26, the first being rumble strips, and that is an increase in the base as well of $300,000 a year, and then landscape partnerships, an increase of $1 million a year out of the trunk highway fund. And then there's a series of one-time appropriations, $3 million for greenhouse gas emission analysis and $800,000 for grants to MPOs. Then there's a series of items that were in the governor's recommendations for the capital budget, $40 million in trunk highway fund one time for high priority bridges, 4.8 for drainage asset management, 7.75 for truck parking, and $20.1 million for facilities capital improvement. Then the next few items are under appropriations from the driver and vehicle services account. The first is an increase for driver's exam staffing. I should note that this amount is about $900,000 more than the governor's suggested level. Then on line 33, a one-time appropriation for $1.2 million for the Lights On grant program. And then on line 34, an increase in appropriation in fiscal 2025 and in the TAILS for the ignition interlock legislation. Then there's a few changes to DVS special revenue, the amount of revenue coming into the account as a result of proposed legislation. Lines 39, the rotary special plates would increase revenue by an estimated $1,000 a year in the tails. And on line 40, vehicle title application deadline changes would decrease revenue by about $508,000. And this was estimated based off of information from DPS, but might need to be updated. I will note in the next iteration of the spreadsheet, the net total spending, all funds, I didn't notice on the spreadsheet, but I'll just tell you now, for the 24-25 biennium is $85,130,000, and for the TAILS, the base is set at an increase of $10.266 million. On the next page are reflect fiscal notes and changes that are not direct appropriations. The first four, starting on line 48 and going through 51, are related to railroad legislation. Then there's a governor's rec item on line 55 and 56. This allows MnDOT to collect passenger fare revenue from the second train to Chicago. And then there is some estimated incurred cost from the Department of Commerce as a result of the high voltage transmission line legislation. And that's the spreadsheet.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lee. Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair, members, with that, I'll go through the language in the amendments. First, just to orient you, the H5242DE1 amendment contains a number of the provisions that Mr. Lee had outlined, but there is a second amendment that would amend the DE1, and I'll touch on that as well. The DE1 Article 1 sets out the appropriations, a number of which, or all of which, Mr. Lee had covered. Just so you have a sense of the structure, this is similar to other budget bills, but it's supplemental, so the amounts that are identified are in addition to appropriations made last year. So Section 1 sets out the structure. The following sections 2, 3, and 4 lay out appropriations for the departments. Section 5 on page 4 has the cancellation from a prior appropriation that Mr. Lee had outlined. And then Section 6 has a change to a previous appropriation to specify that a Carlstadt Airport project was phase one of that project. Mr. Chair and members, Article 2 starts on page 7, and that contains a variety of policy and finance provisions. Section 1 is a conforming change related to the ignition interlock and intensive testing program to add a cross-reference. Section 2 sets out rumble strip requirements for trunk highways in some circumstances. Section 3 establishes a new memorial bridge. Sections 4 and 5 amend requirements around greenhouse gas emissions assessments and analysis, as well as setting up an advisory committee. And then moving to page 15 of the DE1, a series of sections relate to high voltage transmission lines. This is sections 6 through 11. This establishes explicit co-location authority for high voltage transmission lines, sets up some procedures around that process, and it also sets requirements on reimbursement elements. Moving then to page 18 in the DE1, section 12 goes along with section 13. This is a change from the bill as originally heard and includes some technical modifications and a conforming change, including to eliminate some obsolete language. So the substantive change is found in Section 13, and this goes to extending out the length of time for a temporary permit on vehicle purchases. Section 14 establishes a Rotary International special plate. And then on page 20, another series of sections 15 through 17 modify the deadline for title applications. This is modified from the bill as heard in committee so that the deadline length is extended out to 20 days. And there's also a change or a couple of changes that are technical and conforming to set up the deadline and modify the the structure a bit in statute so that there's just one date established and then cross-references made to that date. Moving then to page 22, another series of sections 18 through 22, relate to changes to the ignition interlock program. This creates a largely parallel intensive testing program for non-alcohol-related DUI violations so that a person would be subject to requirements that are somewhat similar to ignition interlock but would instead be regular testing related. So that's a number of sections, 18 through 22. That, Mr. Chair and members, would bring us to page 32 if you're following along in the DE1. Section 23 is another provision related to the high voltage transmission lines that it just establishes a explicit addition of high voltage transmission lines in a policy statement that's in statute. And then section 24 is a piece of changes related to motor carrier of railroad employee regulations. This is the conforming change on use of funds so that any deposits into a safety account would then be able to be used for enforcement related activities of the department. Section 25 establishes wayside detector system requirements for railroads. And then section 26 sets a maximum train length requirement for railroads. Section 27 sets hours of service requirements for railroads. And then sections 28 through 30, again, relate to the motor carrier railroad employee requirements. This sets up enforcement procedures and explicit complaint investigation authority on the department. Department of Transportation. This does include some changes from the bill as it was originally heard in the committee, including to set out procedures and clarify that a civil penalty is what could be imposed by the department, kind of the process around imposition of that penalty. Section 31 relates to an appropriation for community roadside landscape partnerships. This is a technical change that splits out a portion of that appropriation. So the appropriation language is found in Article 1, and then this sets some requirements of the department in expanding the program that was in the original language but is now shifted to be an uncodified section. And then finally, Section 32 contains a repealer, Paragraph A, repeals and a special plate that's made obsolete by the special plate being established in the DE1, and paragraph B eliminates an administrative rule related to commercial driver's license number of hours of instruction. And then, Mr. Chair, the A6 amendment, I know is not quite before us, but just that you're aware, that contains a number of the appropriations that Mr. Lee had outlined in the spreadsheet and is anticipated as an author's amendment to the DE1. There's some other provisions in there which we could get to at that time if you wanted, or I could.
Yeah, we'll wait on
that. I'll hold on anything further, just so you're aware of the connection to the spreadsheet is those two amendments, essentially.
Perfect. Thank you very much. And so just a roadmap for everybody as to how we're going to proceed today. So we have some wonky policy, like how process things. We've got a tertiary amendment that we would like to work with Representative Petersburg on, and so we are first going to adopt the DE amendment, and then we're going to do amendments to the DE amendments to the 5242 as amended. So that's how we're going to move forward with those in order to be able to accept that secondary tertiary amendment there and get that done. And so now we'll accept that, and then we're going to do testimony, and then we are going to do amendments, and then we're going to do any discussion about the bill overall. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And as long as we have Mr. Burrish here, could you just go back to page 21? Can you tell me the impact of changing registrar to commissioner? will that have any impact into the authority of registrars, or will commissioner, in fact, encompass all of the staff, including registrars?
And we'll do this just since it's top of mind right now, but then the rest of the questions and everything we'll hold until we're done. So, Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair, Representative Petersburg, they're synonymous. So deputy registrar is separate. This is a technical change to kind of shift the terminology to just refer to the commissioner.
Thanks. Perfect. Thank you, Mayor. So, Mr. Chair, do you have any comments or discussion before we accept the DE1?
No. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just appreciate the work of the committee, and particularly want to thank our nonpartisan staff. I want to thank Mr. Marble, Mr. Bauman, and Kyle for their work on this. And let's dive right into this.
Perfect. All right. So with that, all those in favor of adopting the DE1, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, nay.
Nay.
The ayes prevail, and the DE1 is adopted. All right, now we move on to testimony on the bill. And so we'll start with Commissioner Dobenberger. And as Commissioner's coming up, we'll give a little latitude for the Commissioner, but all other testimony that we have today will be limited to 2 minutes. And we have a lot to get through today, so I'm going to be nowhere near as nice as Chair Hornstein generally is about everything. So just be aware as we get into this, because we got a lot of work to get done today. So Commissioner Dobenberger, please state your name for the record and continue.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Nancy Dobenberger, and I am the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Transportation. Thank you for the opportunity to provide comments on the House Omnibus Transportation Bill. We appreciate working with Chair Hornstein, Vice Chair Tabke, and Lead Petersburg throughout this session. We thank them and all the committee members for their work on this bill. I understand the committee intends to amend the existing bill with many of MnDOT's budget items from the governor's budget bill. And so my prepared comments reflect that understanding. And while these provisions are budget neutral, their impact on Minnesota's transportation system can be significant. We appreciate the $40 million in funding for high priority bridges, along with the technical correction required for transportation facilities program appropriated last session. Additionally, the governor recommends establishing a tribal workforce training program to mirror at the state level what the federal government provides in terms of highway construction training for tribal members. Also included in the governor's budget is the authority for MnDOT to collect fare revenues from passenger rail service. So we thank you, Mr. Chair, for including that in your bill. And in addition to the governor's budget recommendations, we also appreciate the inclusion of recommendations of the Greenhouse Gas Working Group. These recommendations are consistent with Minnesota's and MnDOT's sustainability objectives and the agency's long-term goals of reducing greenhouse gas emissions and vehicle miles traveled. Working group members have found that the preferred approach for evaluating the greenhouse gas and vehicle miles traveled conformance of transportation investments is through integrated multimodal regional planning. This plan would establish the overall process for achieving the state's greenhouse gas and vehicle miles traveled target reduction targets, and provide the ability to incorporate land use, highway, and other multimodal transportation planning into an overarching vision for the state. The recommendations to the legislature seek action in two different forms. First, to clarify the certain elements of the legislation, and second, to provide resources to build capacity for evaluating emissions within regions through improved planning and modeling resources for the state and local governments. So thank you again, Mr. Chair and committee members, for your work on this bill, and I stand for questions.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Dobenberger. I think we'll hold those off until we get around past the amendments and we're got the bill in the shape we will have it in. So thank you very much. Next, we have Cassandra O'Hearn, followed by Steve Huser.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for being here. Please say your name for the record and proceed.
Will do. Good morning. My name is Cassandra O'Hearn. I'm the Deputy Commissioner for the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. Before I begin, I want to thank Chair Hornstein for his work on this bill and the many years of commitment to supporting the work of the Department of Public Safety and its divisions, the Minnesota State Patrol, Driver Vehicle Services, the Office of Traffic Safety, and the Office of Pipeline Safety. So thank you. DPS is incredibly grateful to Chair Hornstein for funding DVS examiners at a level above and beyond the 22 FTEs included in the governor's supplemental budget. The additional funding included in this bill will allow DVS to hire 10 more examiners in addition to the 22 initially requested. DVS is grateful to the chair's consideration and inclusion of this additional funding and would utilize the additional funding to support both Class D and CDL examiners. Significant investment will provide DVS the resources to dedicate additional examiners to both Class D and CDL. DPS is concerned about a provision in the bill that funds the Lights On grant program out of the DVS operating account. While DPS appreciates the benefits of the Lights On program, the DVSOA is the only funding source for DVS to provide its core services. Funds in the DVSOA are statutorily authorized only for driver and vehicle services and operations of DVS. While we appreciate that this is one-time funding, with anticipated pressures on the DVS special revenue account over the next biennia, to support the needs of DVS, any reduction to those accounts limits the ability to offer services improvements in the future. And last, I'd like to thank Representative Cagle for her collaboration on the intensive testing program and willingness to make changes to ensure the program can be effectively administered. Once again, I'd like to sincerely thank Chair Hornstein, the members of this committee, and all the committee staff and for your partnership for funding the work of DPS and its transportation-related divisions. Overall, DPS supports this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Now we'll have Steve Huser followed by Marion Green. State your name for the record and please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Steve Huser. I'm a senior government relations representative for the city of Minneapolis. I just want to start by thanking the committee, Chair Hornstein, for the collaboration that we've seen so far this session with the city of Minneapolis. To the bill, we appreciate the additional funding that is included in this bill for the state infrastructure. We all, I think, can appreciate the critical needs that we all face in our infrastructure in the state. Specifically, we do support the additional $1.2 million for the Lights On program. The city of Minneapolis is a participant in that program. Looking ahead to the work of this committee today, we would encourage the committee to support the A6 amendment, which does include the bus rapid transit project infrastructure provision. And I want to thank Representative Sensor Mura for working on that bill this legislative session. The city does look forward to working with the chair and members of this committee as this work comes together with the work of the Senate. I'll leave you with a thank you to everybody on this committee for the work of this session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up, we have Marion Green, followed by Capel Rourke. Please state your name for the record and proceed. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Marion Green. I'm a Hennepin County Commissioner from District 3 and the Chair of the Hennepin County Regional Rail Authority. Last session, you passed an historic transportation bill to make transformational improvements and deliver a robust network of fast, frequent, reliable service. The A6 amendment builds on that to ensure that we deliver safe and efficient transit projects. It will require that arterial bus rapid transit projects include full ADA improvements at stations and transit-specific infrastructure to improve reliability and service. Hennepin County and fellow local governments have been close partners in the implementation of these projects, and we will continue to invest millions in these corridors to improve safety and maintain the roadways. Thank you for making sure that these projects are fully scoped and done right. Full project scoping will mean shared understanding upfront on what a project will include and what it'll cost. That will serve all jurisdictions, including the legislature, better than the current, more piecemeal approach. Speaking of improving on current approaches, this is also important for larger scale infrastructure projects so we don't repeat the mistakes of the past. The Blue Line Extension Light Rail Transit Project will connect Brooklyn Park through Crystal, Robbinsdale, and North Minneapolis, serving racially diverse communities that have felt the lasting impacts of historical redlining and disinvestment. The Blue Line Extension will better connect transit-dependent residents with our expanding regional transit system that now includes light rail lines, arterial BRT, regular BRT, and local buses. Since this project's inception, community has voiced enthusiasm for the project and what it will mean for residents. The community knows that this level of service for these communities is overdue, and they are ready to receive it. Concurrently, community has also consistently expressed concerns about the risks for residential, economic, and cultural displacement impacts. Hennepin County recognizes the urgency that neighbors are feeling for strong anti-displacement measures, and we have been working with local, metro, and federal partners to advance policies and secure funding. In fact, there's a lot of enthusiasm about this work at the federal level, both at the White House and at the FTA. As the geographies directly served by the line see economic benefits accrue, we look forward to working with this committee to make sure corridor residents and businesses share in the project benefits by investing in community-driven anti-displacement strategies. Thank you again for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much for being here. Next up, we have Cap O'Rourke, followed by Joel Mueller. Welcome. Please state your name and continue with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, my name is Cap O'Rourke. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Association of Small Cities. To make this quick, last session you guys did pass historic legislation that for the first time would give ongoing dedicated revenue to Minnesota's small cities, over 700 cities with populations under 5,000. In that bill, there was going to be a biennial total of $23 million over the 2 years. Unfortunately, that is not the case. What's now going to happen in fiscal year 24, small cities receive $0, and in fiscal year 25, they're estimated now to receive $2.5 million. In this legislation, we appreciate the $9 million one-time appropriation. What we are asking for is an additional $11 million. This is not, I've been asked, you know, our ask was not 20. Last session, our ask was $40 million, and the legislature gave us $23 million. All we are asking for is that this body uphold its, what it passed last session to give small cities its full $23 million. Cities have budgeted that. They are trying to plan for that. They are looking for where that revenue is going to come, and it currently on the Minnesota Department of Transportation site, if you look at fiscal year appropriations for small cities, it still shows appropriations of $3 and $19 million. So an additional $11 million to small cities will fulfill the promise that you guys made last session and give and put small cities on the right footing for their transportation needs. Thank you.
Thank you, Cap. Next we have Joel Mueller, followed by Nicholas Kadich. Say your name and please proceed.
Good morning, everybody. Joel Mueller with the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Trainmen. I would like to thank the committee for their hard work on a lot of the rail safety provisions that are included in this bill in sections 25 through 28. I believe a lot of these provisions will help address some of the safety challenges the railroad industry has been facing over the last several years. The requirement for defect detectors will ensure that rail equipment is scanned more frequently and fills a gap in a non-existent federal regulation. It will still allow the rail industry to expand beyond the basic requirements of this bill in the realm of freight car inspection. The cap on train length fits with Minnesota's rail infrastructure. It will also help ease the congestion that the Minnesota's rail network has been experiencing in recent years. It still allows the rail carriers to provide reliable and efficient service to many of the shippers throughout the state, including the ag shippers and the taconite mineral shippers up in Minnesota's Iron Range. And in fact, I think this provision will, I will argue that it will improve the service. The other provisions in this bill will protect a group of railroad workers that have fallen through the gaps on federal regulation, and the motor carrier portion of the bill will ensure that crews are safely transported. I want to finish by saying that the members that I represent want the rail industry to thrive. We've seen a lot of challenges in this industry recently, and it is in everybody's best interest that Minnesota has a robust, efficient, and safe rail network. And I believe the provisions in this bill will help address and ensure that we have that going forward. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Now we have Nicholas Kadich, followed by Amber Backus. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. My name is Nick Kadich, and I am the Minnesota Legislative Director for Smart Transportation Division, a labor union representing conductors, engineers, and yardmasters. So rail safety sections 25, 26, 27, and 28 in House File 5242 are necessary and appropriate. They serve the best interests of railroad workers, shippers, the public, and even the railroads. The only reason to oppose these standards would be to appease the Wall Street bottom line, certainly not for any reason related to running a good business. States have authority to regulate railroads. This has been proven over and over, most recently with our minimum crew size law from last year. When the railroads don't want something, they use federal preemption as a blanket argument, even when it doesn't apply. They threaten to sue. They withhold monies they owe. The term getting railroaded has several applications. None of them are positive. I'm here before you with just a couple of minutes to convince you these sections in House File 5242 are right for our state, while also facing down a smokescreen of half-truths and innuendos brought forth by industry lobbyists. As a railroad conductor myself, speaking with the voice and experience of all the conductors, engineers, and yardmasters I represent, I ask you to trust in us. We're the workers who actually do the job and want to see the railroad succeed and the customers be serviced. Safety isn't a buzzword for us. It's literally life and death. We don't care what Wall Street wants. We're not in this for short-term profit gains. We're here for the long haul, dedicating our lives to this profession. There are amendments out today seeking to undo the work done in committees this session, and we urge you to reject them. And we thank you for your time and consideration. And thank you, Chair Hornstein, as well, for all of your work. And I will stand for any questions later on.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kadich. Amber Backus, followed by Michael Wojcik. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Amber Backus with United Strategies on behalf of the Minnesota Regional Railroads Association, which includes larger railroads as well as 14 carriers that are Minnesota-based impacted adversely by this bill. And we'd like to speak in opposition to the new regulations on freight railroads in sections 25 to 29. I'm not going to speak to the specifics of each, but question their need, especially since all are likely preempted under federal law. There's a narrative that railroads are unsafe and getting less safe, but the data does not support this. Over the last decade in Minnesota, total accidents and incidents have fallen 46%. Equipment-caused accidents have fallen 66%, and incidents on mainline track have dropped 52%. And earlier this month, the FRA released data from a new inspection program focusing on high-hazard flammable train routes. Over the past year, 443 inspections were conducted in Minnesota on these routes, the fourth most of any state in the nation, with 157 of those performed by MnDOT's own state rail inspectors. In the course of these reviews, 102 wayside detectors were inspected, and 75 operating practice reviews looked at dispatch and crew responses to wayside detector notifications. Out of 443 inspections, 5 recommended violations, a rate of 1.13%. And when you compare employee injury rates of railroads to other modes of transportation, railroads have the lowest, as you can see in the letter in your packets. And regarding hazardous material incidents, freight railroads' numbers are infinitesimal when compared to trucking. Yet the disparate approach between the treatment of freight transportation modes in this bill is stark. The delete all and author's amendment are funding rest areas and using state dollars to make trucking safer and help their drivers comply with federal hours of service laws. But for freight rail, The bill is imposing four new sets of regulations, with the wayside detector provision alone expected to cost the industry upwards of $90 million. And again, this includes the small short lines that are based here. And we're redirecting those dollars from investments in predictive technology and track improvements that are proven to make rail safer. And in this deal to go after the railroads, you are actually hurting their customers, and we've had conversations with some of the folks in the agriculture community about this. So the Minnesota farmers, grain elevators, ethanol plants, and mining operations that depend on rail to get their goods to market will face increased costs. So I appreciate your time. I'm sorry I didn't have a chance to get into preemption, but just wanted to note that since these bills were heard, the Federal Railroad Administration administered their two-person crew rule and reinforced the need for national uniform laws that don't create a patchwork. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Next we have Michael Wojcik. Thank you for being here. Please proceed.
Honorable Chair, members, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here and speak on behalf of the Bicycle Alliance of Minnesota and our thousands of members throughout the state. I don't feel the need to touch on the provisions of this bill, as you've heard them all before. What I will say is there are meaningful improvements here to make the lives and safety of your loved ones throughout the state of Minnesota much safer. There's very, very little change from what we presented on before. I'd be happy to stand for questions later. I will note that a small change in terms of how funding is accessed for the fiscal note will allow the commissioner to access active transportation funds for these to cover this, not only in the current biennium but in out years as well. There's no impact to the general fund or the trunk highway fund. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right, that concludes the list of folks that we had signed up to testify. Is there anybody else from the audience that would like to speak? All right, seeing none, we will move on to the amendments. So we will begin with those. We will start with the A6 amendment, which is an author's amendment. And Chair Hornstein, would you like to move your amendment?
Yes, I will.
Chair Hornstein moves the A6 amendment. Would you like to discuss it, please?
So this basically incorporates the changes that we've anticipated through public testimony and includes the governor's recommendations on the situation with facilities capital, the truck parking, the high priority bridges. We include the lights on grant program, the traffic safety allocation. We made some changes to the zero emission transit buses, and these are the changes that we've anticipated. Also with the zero emission and electric transit vehicles and the bus rapid transit infrastructure. So that's the author's amendment.
Thank you very much, Chair Hornstein. We've got a couple of different author's amendments here, and so we'll go through them one at a time. Any questions on this one? All right, seeing none, all those in, oh, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. Did I understand that the A29 is actually a direct amendment to this particular amendment, or am I wrong there?
It is not. It is the A29 is amendment. Wait, you are correct. This is a tertiary amendment. So this is, thank you for that. I did not realize that was there. So the A29, we have an amendment to the amendment. So A29 is the next one, Chair Hornstein. And so would you like to, so we've moved the A6, and so we need to move the A29 amendment to the amendment. Thank you very much, Representative Petersburg. Okay. All right. So we have a couple of these. So Chair Hornstein, will you, hold on, I need to talk to Mr. Burris here real quick. All Perfect. All right.
Thank you, everybody.
This is a technical, Mr. Chair, this is a technical.
All right, perfect. So we have moved the A-29 amendment to the amendment. So this is amending the A-6 as a technical amendment. Any questions on the A-29? All right, seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? The motion prevails, and the A-29 is amended on to the A-6. And now we have another one. A-31 is another amendment to the A-6. So, Mr. Chair, will you please describe the A-31?
So this changes a number of the provisions in the zero-emission transit bus legislation. We listened to some of the testimony. And so we move out some of the effective dates and consider some additional off-ramps for this particular provision.
Perfect. Thank you. Any questions, discussion on the A-31 amendment to the A-6 amendment? All right, seeing none, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion prevails. And now we have the A-6 in the format that we'd like it in, so the A-6 amendment. So thank you, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would prefer a request a roll call on this amendment. I think this is it's a fairly extensive amendment dealing with a lot of things that we just heard this week, and I just think it's we needed a little bit more time to do it, so I'd request a roll call, please.
Thank you. Further discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Tsang, will you please do a roll call on the A-6 as amended?
Chair Hornstein.
Aye.
Chair Hornstein.
Aye.
Vice Chair Tapke.
Aye.
Vice Chair Tapke.
Aye.
Lead Petersburg.
No.
Lead Petersburg.
No.
Representative Brand.
Aye.
Representative Brand.
Aye.
Representative Elkins.
Elkins. Aye.
Representative Elkins.
Aye.
Representative Fogelman.
No.
Representative Fogelman.
No.
Representative Fudella.
No.
Representative Fudella,
no.
Representative Cagle?
Aye.
Representative Cagle?
Aye.
Representative Kraft?
Aye.
Representative Kraft?
Aye.
Representative Murphy?
No.
Representative Murphy?
No.
Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Representative Norris?
Aye.
Representative Norris?
Aye.
Representative Olson? Representative Olson is excused. Representative Sensormira?
Aye.
Representative Sensormira?
Aye.
Representative West?
No.
Representative West?
No.
Mr. Chair, 9 ayes, 5 nays, 1 excused.
With 9 ayes and 5 nays, the motion prevails. Moving on to the A-3 amendment. This one is Chair Hornstein, A-3 amendment.
So this was a bill we heard earlier. Representative Ream had brought it, and you know, this addresses the issue of e-bikes, and I have, I think Representative Ream is here. If you can give,
and we can just, more. We can just have Representative Ream if there are any questions or things. Okay. We've already heard the bill, so.
Yeah, yeah. So if there's questions, you know, we heard the bill and want to make sure that this was included, and we have, if there's any questions.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. So A-3 amendment, any discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed?
Aye.
The motion prevails. Thank you very much. Thank you for all your work, Representative Ream, and for being here. Now we have the A-25 amendment. Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move the A-25. The A-25 is is technical amendment to the ignition interlock provisions in the DE.
Thank you very much. Any discussion? Chair Hornstein?
I would support the amendment.
All right. Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion prevails. Moving on to the A-28 A28 amendment, which is also Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A28, so last year when we did the sports team license plates, we required them to have a foundation in order to get the license plates. What this would do would allow the Minnesota United to direct their proceeds to the Loon Restoration Fund instead of forming a 501c3 or a foundation. Then they could just give it straight to the Loons. So it's the Loons for Loons amendment.
Thank you very much, Chair Cagle. Chair Hornstein, any comments?
I'd support that.
Support the Loons for Loons for sure. That is good. Any discussion? All right. Seeing none, all those in favor of the A2 amendment. Wait, I just said the wrong one. Sorry. The A28 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion prevails. All right, now we get the A2 amendment on here, and this one is Representative Norris.
Thank you, Chair Tabke. This amendment represents a bipartisan priority of our North Metro legislators that I'm proud to bring and offer on behalf of our region. It would provide funding for a pedestrian overpass over Highway 10 in the city of Ramsey. If you're familiar with this area, it's an area that's seen a lot of growth over the past number of years, and it's really becoming a pretty active area. The bridge would connect two east-to-west continuous regional trails that come together in that area. There's a transit station, and there are plans for a youth athletic complex that's going to be built in this vicinity as well, which would bring a lot of youngsters to the area, those that wouldn't necessarily be able to transport themselves via car. And so the idea of a pedestrian bridge is really critical for not only the economic development in the area, but the safety as well. In recent years, this section of Highway 10 has seen a number of crashes involving pedestrians and bicyclists, including two crashes that resulted in pedestrian fatalities, unfortunately. The total cost of the project is $7.5 million. This would be a $3.75 million request from the state, and the city of Ramsey would cover the other half of the project cost. Members, I'd encourage you to yes vote on this. It's a way to promote both active transportation, but also safety and economic development in this part of the North Metro.
Thank you very much, Representative Norris. There's an amendment to this amendment, and so Representative Petersburg, would you like to present the we can do that as the actual amendment, so I don't have the number in front of me.
A26.
Thank you, sir.
So thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move the A26 amendment, and basically it doesn't say anything about the value or quality of the project, because I think anytime we can increase safety and connectivity is great. What I do have concerned with is the way it's written, the money would come out of trunk highway funds, and we have been continually kind of raiding the trunk highway fund for a lot of different projects. Because we have an active transportation account that is designed for active transportation that includes walking and all other modals of transportation, it seems like that would be the best place to take the funds rather than from the trunk highway fund. And so my motion, my amendment, simply takes the money from the trunk highways, from the active transportation account instead of the trunk highway account.
Thank you very much, Representative Petersburg. Representative Norris.
Chair Tabke, Representative Petersburg, I think this is a helpful suggestion. I'll accept it as a friendly amendment. Appreciate the teamwork on this.
Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor of the A26 amendment to the A2 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion prevails. Now we've got the Representative Norris amendment, the underlying amendment, the A2. Any discussion on the A2? All right. Seeing none, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion prevails. All right. Perfect. So we are now on to the A24 amendment. Representative West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You can tell you used to be a mayor. You really know how to get a meeting moving along. All right. So the A24 amendment takes $1 million from the tree planting area of the bill. That takes money from the Trunk Highway Fund. And as we just, that's on topic right now with that last amendment, is Trunk Highway funds should be directed to trunk highways. So I thought, let's put it to my favorite trunk highway, Highway 65. Now, I know this is a Representative Cagle provision where this money is coming from, so I didn't want to take it from Representative Cagle and put it into the section of Highway 65 in my district, because that's just greedy. But there's another part of Highway 65 from 99th all the way down to County Road 10 that also needs to be done. And I've heard from many people from that community, including elected officials, that are concerned that that will take ages to get done because it is so expensive because it deals with Highway 10 in that area. So in that spirit, it's rather than using trunk highway funds for tree planting, we should use trunk highway funds for planning and design and safety improvements on that stretch of road, since it's good to get started early. Now, $1 million isn't an abundance of money, but I know for sure the local communities would be interested in seeing this move forward as soon as possible. So I ask for members' support on this provision. I think it's an appropriate use of trunk highway funds, and it's a good use for Highway 65, which, of course, we got Section 2 funded, which is absolutely delightful, and that was the worst section in terms of congestion. We're going to see congestion appear on these other sections of it in the near future. So let's get started today, because we know it takes years and years and years to get the money necessary. So I ask for your support, and I request a roll call.
Thank you very much, Representative West. Discussion on the amendment. Representative Cagle.
Mr. Chair, so I'm torn on this one, Representative West, because I do think that we do need to make sure that we're doing the landscaping improvements, but I also recognize the 10 tangle is a really big deal. I would like to maybe move an oral amendment.
Sure, have at it.
Okay. Can we, I would say that we, instead of taking it from the landscaping fund, that we take it, from trunk highway funds.
Mr. Burris and Mr. Lee, could you help us out with this oral amendment?
Mr. Chair and members, just a moment, I can give you an oral amendment for that.
Thank you very much. So just assuming we get the language that could work out on that, Representative West or Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. The other question is in regards to this actually has expanded the trunk highway funds in appropriations in this bill. Does that violate any other things? Maybe Mr. Lee might have that information. Will this increasing the appropriations of trunk highway fund in this bill, will that change the bill enough so that it's no longer a valid piece?
Mr. Lee.
Mr. Chair and Representative Petersburg, there's not a Ways and Means budget resolution for trunk highway spending.
Further discussion while we give some time to work here. Representative West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That doesn't resolve, I like using trunk highway funds to plant trees personally, but I understand trunk highway funds are used for beautification of trunk highways. That does happen. So I don't love that, but I think if this is going to go on, I would withdraw my request for a roll call because I assume this will sail through then, and that would be delightful.
I feel like your intuition would be accurate there. But we'll give just a minute to get this figured out so it is correct. Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair, members, for an oral amendment, I have, and this would be amending the A24, page 1, delete lines 3 to 4. Page 1, line 7, after is, insert from the trunk highway fund.
So we have deleting lines 3 and 4 on the A24 amendment after insert is from the trunk highway fund. Is that accurate? Is everyone clear on the Representative Brand?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question for I guess you, Mr. Chair, or for the Chair Hornstein, the author of the bill, has this specific issue been represented in this committee as a bill in the last 2 years?
Mr. Chair.
We have had certainly a discussion of Highway 65 extensively over the last couple of years.
Representative Brand.
Thank you. Chair Hornstein, specifically my question is this particular section of Highway 65.
Chair Hornstein.
We've had, Mr. Chair and Representative Brand, we've had, pretty expansive conversations about all aspects of Highway 65.
Representative Cagle.
I was just going to add, thank you, Mr. Chair, that this has been extensively studied. And the one part that hasn't been studied is this 10 tangle where Highway 65, County Road 10, and Highway 10 all meet. And so this $1 million, since we're investing a ton in the northern part, we're redoing everything north of that and then have plans for everything south of that. And so this would be a study specifically for the 10 tangle so that we don't have like six stoplights in a one block area.
And Representative Cagle, who specifically calls it the 10 tangle?
This is, I'm trademarking the 10 tangle.
All right, thank you. So we have oral amendments as described by Mr. Burris. Any discussion or questions on that oral amendment to the A24? Do we need to accept the oral amendment first, Mr. Burris, or can we just proceed with the...
Mr. Chair, I would take that unless Representative West wanted to incorporate that language into his amendment, it would be a separate oral amendment that the committee would take up and consider.
Representative West.
So we avoid a vote, a second vote, if I say I incorporate it? You can nod. Okay, I incorporate it.
All right, beautiful. All right, so all those in favor of the A24 as amended by the oral amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, the motion passes. Thank you very much, Representative West. Now we go to the A22 amendment. Representative Hudella.
Mr. Chair, members, so 98 years ago, our Mendota Bridge was dedicated to the 151st Field Artillery Battalion, also known as the Gopher Gunners. The 151 was highly decorated in World War I, saw combat action there, participated in World War II. There's currently a plaque about the size of a sheet of paper on each end of the bridge. So the source of this amendment, the Department of Military Affairs wants to rededicate that bridge. They want to put slightly larger signage on each end of the Mendota Bridge, and they'll cover all the costs for it. We heard this bill a few days ago in the Veterans Committee, passed with department support, but it touched transportation, so we wanted to offer it as an amendment to our omnibus this year.
Thank you very much, Representative Hudella. Chair Hornstein.
I think that's a reasonable amendment, and I would ask for support.
Beautiful. Any other discussion or questions? All right, seeing none, all those in favor of the A22 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion prevails. Now we move on to the A10 amendment. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me just get it around here. trying to get through all these amendments and try to get them to the right spot here. So
you made your own bet on this one, my friend.
Well, no.
You could have put them in order.
Without us understanding the order in which you're going to call from, it just takes a little bit of time.
We're accepting all the ayes first.
All right. So the question here is, when we talked about this greenhouse gas, a large portion of the bill is all about that. One of the things that we noticed is that there are certain situations, and this amendment, which I will move A10, Mr. Chair, I move A10, that on page 9 after highway, to also insert and multimodal. It's important for us to when we're trying to do an analysis on projects or portfolio in regards to projects and how it impacts greenhouse gases and the mitigation of such, that we include everything. And so we have a couple amendments. Now, this is one of them that makes sure that we also include multimodal as one of the ways to consider, because that is a mitigation process. And so basically what my amendment just says, it inserts multimodal.
Thank you very much, Representative Petersburg. Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Petersburg, this is directionally the intent of the legislation. I appreciate you offering this, and I'll accept it. Recommend a yes vote.
Further discussion on the A10 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion prevails. Now we move on to the A7 amendment. Representative Olson.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the A7 amendment very simply just talks about shifting some money to town road and bridges. So we're talking about townships who didn't get anything in this bill. We're just going to take $8 million from last year's NLX train to Duluth and instead utilize that money, $4 million each for towns, townships, and then $4 million for bridges. I think this is a pretty fair way to ensure that the townships still get something this year.
Thank you very much, Representative Olson. Discussion, Chair Hornstein.
I think Representative Cagle will respond to that.
Oh, Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I would suggest a no vote on this. First of all, the NLX, we had the Rail Commission, FRA. One of the FRA bigwigs came out here to, hear about our NLX project. And so, we're very, very top of the list for getting that funding. And I'm afraid that any kind of cut to that fund would hinder our ability to secure the project. And then also we do have some funds that are a little bit flexible in that IIJA account. And so in the DE, it has it coming from the IIJA account. So I would suggest a no vote on this one.
Representative Petersburg.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. And before Representative Olson finishes up here, I would just want to comment that my understanding is that the department and the railroads are just now starting discussions. We're looking a long ways off for the appropriations for this train, and it's just sitting there. While we understand the great need for our townships and others that really, and town bridges that really need this funding, we put a lot of money in this bill in for small cities, but haven't really done anything for townships and town bridges, and this would be really helpful. We have to remember that 47-48% of all the roads in the state are run by townships, and that's a big infrastructure for them to maintain. This seems appropriate for us to invest some of that money in something that actually have an impact currently while we're waiting for all of this other there. This $8 million can be filled in later as it becomes closer to fruition. But while we are still struggling with township roads, they really need the money. So I would really ask for and support a yes vote.
Representative, can you follow up on that? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Representative Petersburg did a great job of explaining that we've got nearly $1 zillion allocated towards this railroad to Duluth. It's not going yet. It's not there. No one's getting it set up yet. We're still in the planning phase of it. Nothing has happened physically to it yet. This is something that will have an immediate effect to many townships, many bridges in this state. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to address an immediate need now. And I hate to say put the train on the back burner, but it's already on the back burner. This is not a project that is occurring currently right now today. So I would request a roll call on this vote.
Thank you very much, Representative Olson. Roll call has been requested. Any further discussion on the A7 amendment? Mr. Sayang, please take the roll. Oh, was there someone else? Oh, okay.
Chair Hornstein.
No.
Chair Hornstein? No. Vice Chair Tapke?
No.
Vice Chair Tapke? No. Lead Petersburg?
Yes.
Lead Petersburg? Yes. Representative Brand?
Aye.
Representative Brand? Aye. Representative Elkins?
No.
Representative Elkins? No.
No.
Representative Fogelman?
Yes.
Representative Fogelman? Yes. Representative Hudella?
Yes.
Representative Hudella? Yes. Representative Cagle?
No.
Representative Cagle? No. Representative Kraft?
No.
Representative Kraft? No. Representative Murphy?
Yes.
Representative Murphy? Yes. Representative Nelson?
No.
Representative Nelson? No. Representative Norris?
No.
Representative Norris? No. Representative Olson?
Yes.
Representative Olson? Yes. Representative Centromira?
No.
Representative Centromira? No. Representative West?
Aye.
Representative West? Aye. Mr. Chair, the ayes are 7, the nays are 8.
With 7 ayes and 8 nays, the motion does not prevail. All right, so now we move on to Representative Murphy, the A-15 amendment.
The A-15 amendment, Mr. Chair, it has to do with the insurance max for railroads. Typically, the mandate here is for $5 million, but in some cases, the levels of insurance that are offered are actually less than that. And this amendment just allows for that to be up to $5 million instead of a $5 million mandate.
Thank you, Representative Murphy. Any discussion on this? Representative Brand.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would ask for a no vote on this. I think that the both of the folks that represent the unions of the folks who work in this industry did a very good job of articulating this committee, articulating in the Judiciary Committee, and also in the Commerce Committee for why this is an important part of this. It has been through the process. I would also point out that in doing some research in an excess liability policy that can be added to any existing insurance policy, you can also, according to the insurance experts, click on a box indicating additional underinsured coverage. The last thing I would say is that there has been some argument about whether or not something like this exists. And I would think that in a capitalistic free enterprise system, if we create an opportunity, somebody's going to meet the demand. So I would ask for a no.
Further discussion, Representative Peters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And that brings a real big question because, as we know, and my understanding is, the railroad industry is a huge industry and self-insures. And so they have the capacity of doing 5 million liabilities and so forth. But currently, we're not aware of any common carrier that is providing that limit of liability insurance out there. So basically, in essence, what we're doing by changing this is requiring the railroad companies, instead of being able to subcontract this out for other groups, is forcing them to bring it in-house to become self-insured rather than an insurance policy. So just to be clear, by not taking on this amendment, which just says whatever the top limit of liability and underinsured is available, that becomes the limit. We have automatically increased the requirement of insurance companies. And if no insurance company wants to take on that risk, then it kind of hogties the railroad industry into being self-insured. So I think this is something that we always have to be careful about, in which we try to impose our authority onto insurance companies and others. And so I would highly request a yes vote on this motion.
Thank you, Lee Petersburg. Final comments, Representative Murphy.
I'd just like to add that, you know, in the business of insurance, that's what they do. It should be their choice on what they want to offer and the ability for the railroad to accept it. It just gives it some flexibility to the insurance provider.
Thank you, Representative Murphy. Okay. All those in favor of the A-15 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed, say nay.
No.
The motion does not prevail. Moving on to the A-17, Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This one has to do with just a federal preemption for railroad provisions. It just requires the Commissioner of Transportation to make sure that they certify the validity of the project so that it doesn't violate any federal laws.
Thank you, Representative Murphy. Representative Brand.
Okay, so for this one, I have a question. So we're talking about the validity of which provision or the entire bill?
Representative Murphy.
It's a really good question. I'm not sure. I'd maybe yield to Peter.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the question is that when the department, in this particular case, the commissioner, has to deal with the policies within this particular bill in relation to railroads, and understanding that there is at least some a conflict or at least a disagreement on what preemption does, it seems to make sense that we would not want to put the state in jeopardy of violating federal law and federal preemption. And so this just requires the commissioner to do the due diligence to actually go out to the federal and find out whether or not it falls within preemption before it's implemented. So it would be all aspects that would fall underneath preemption law.
Representative Brand.
Thank you very much for that clarification. When I went to the Judiciary Committee, I had testimony that I had applied to the committee from one Lawrence Mann. He was the author of the 1970 Rail Safety Act back in 1970, federal Congress legislation. In it, he says in his sworn affidavit that a state may adopt or continue to enforce any additional or more stringent law, regulation, or order related to railroad safety or security when the law, regulation, or order, A, is necessary to eliminate or reduce an essential local safety or security hazard, B, is not incompatible with law, regulation, or order of the U.S. government, and C, does not unreasonably burden interstate commerce. He goes further to say, therefore, clearly undue burden on interstate commerce is not relevant in the present safety bill. And so for that sworn testimony, I would say that at least we have an expert's eyes on this, saying that this does not go incompatible with the 1970 Federal Rail Authority Act. Furthermore, what I would say to this is that the same arguments were made last year when we talked about two-person crews. It's now the law of the entire nation because we passed it here in Minnesota. And so I think this is another opportunity for us to do something that's positive for both worker safety and public safety. So please vote no on this amendment.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think some bill and statute that's put in place in 1970 and then talk about today, we certainly know that there have been other district court rulings, federal rulings, that have upheld a federal exemption in regards to this, even as soon as just a few years ago down in Arizona. And so whereas we could say that there's until something comes and goes through court, there is no guarantee of what the precedent is going to be. This bill or this amendment just simply says, hey, at least we should do our due diligence to make sure that we have and standing on common ground before we make some of these decisions. It seems we're trying to help you out here to make sure that we don't make mistakes in this bill. And it seems to me we would want to make sure that our commissioner is on solid footing when we do that. So whereas Representative Brand, I understand that the information that you're getting from one person who wrote some of these rules, we don't know what the federal law is currently or what's being heard in other district courts. So I just think this is common sense piece, and I would also request a roll call. I think it's that important.
Thank you very much, Representative Petersburg. Final, Representative Brand.
Thank you for asking for the roll call. I was actually going to do that, so you beat me to it. The last thing I would say on this discussion, I guess, is that anybody could sue for any reason in the state and the world. And I think at the end of the day, that's the burden that we have in a three branches of our government, is that at the end of the day, we do have the Supreme Court, we do have a court system in place. And so I think that we have solid footing on this. That's my interpretation.
Representative Murphy.
Yeah, I think it's just important to reduce any liabilities that we have as taxpayers in the state. It just seems like this is really common sense to make sure we're doing that. We can certainly have ideas of whether or not we think it is, but it would be great to have a little bit closer idea, and that's the whole purpose of this amendment.
Thank you, Representative Murphy. Mr. Cy Young, please call the roll. The A17 amendment.
Chair Hornstein. No. Chair Hornstein, no. Vice Chair Tappy.
No.
Vice Chair Tappy, no. Lead Petersburg.
Aye.
Lead Petersburg, aye. Representative Brand.
Brand votes no.
Representative Brand, no. Representative Elkins.
Elkins, no.
Representative Elkins, no. Representative Fogelman.
Yes.
Representative Fogelman, yes. Representative Hudella.
Yes.
Representative Hudella, yes. Representative Cagle.
No.
Representative Cagle, no. Representative Kraft.
No.
Representative Kraft, no. Representative Murphy.
Yes.
Representative Murphy, yes. Representative Nelson.
No.
Representative Nelson, no. Representative Norris.
No.
Representative Norris, no. Representative Olson.
Yes.
Representative Olson, yes. Representative Censor Miro.
No.
Representative Santamira, no. Representative West?
Aye.
Representative West? Aye. Mr. Chair, the ayes are 6, the nays are 9.
Oh, with 6 ayes and 9 nays, the motion A-17 does not prevail. Now moving on to the A-18, Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is another amendment that discusses having the Commissioner of Agriculture. This is the Commissioner of Agriculture now, instead of the Commissioner of Transportation. But one of the biggest fears that I have with regard to a lot of the railroad requirements and mandates that we're placing is that it's going to have an adverse effect on the agricultural sector of the state of Minnesota. Now, remember, everyone, Minnesota is a great agricultural producing state. My district especially, very heavily agricultural related. We deal with that. Just about everything we do is agriculture, as is, you know, Representative Fogelman's got a huge district on ag. Representative Brandt, your district is very large, heavily involved in the ag industry. And all of us surround in some way agriculture, whether it's an ethanol plant or CHS has a soybean oil facility in Mankato there. And I fear that these restrictions on our railroad industry will prevent agriculture from being able to move efficiently throughout the country and throughout the world. You know, the soybean growers actually just sent a delegation of individuals off into Asia in order to try and shake hands and convince them to buy American soybeans. Now, we need to be able to get Minnesota soybeans to Asia. We need to be able to get Minnesota corn to Asia. That's what we need to be able to do. And by hindering our railroads, we will adversely affect that issue, except for if the Commissioner of Agriculture were to do a study of this and say, you know what, I've analyzed this issue, and I don't believe that any of these railroad mandates will hurt us in agriculture. And if that's the case, then that's great. But I fear that we're making some really irresponsible decisions here today that will adversely affect the agriculture sector, the agriculture industry here in the state of Minnesota. And so my hope is that we'll accept this amendment to have the Commissioner of Agriculture look at the issue and determine whether or not it will hurt our ag industry. And if it will hurt our ag industry, I hope we'll make changes. And if it won't, then, you know, then at least we've done our due diligence. We've covered our bases to ensure that agriculture remains a very sound industry here in the state of Minnesota. And, Mr. Chair, I would request a roll call on this amendment.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Representative Brand.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and thank you very much for asking for the roll call. This is another one I was going to ask for a roll call on as well. You had made some comments about how it would hurt agriculture. I spoke with Commissioner Peterson actually yesterday about these specific provisions. We had a very good conversation about this. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, I did some research here. So in the industry standard is about 110 cars or 6,500 feet for when it comes to agriculture products, grain trains specifically. And so the problem that we have is any longer train, it really becomes a challenge when it comes to loading and unloading these facilities, because a lot of them just don't have that capacity to handle more than 6,500 feet or 110 cars. Furthermore, grain trains run directly from a loading to an unloading facility. You know, the raw product goes to facility. Like, for instance, wheat gets pounded into flour, and then the flour goes to another place where they make baked goods and stuff of that nature. And so when railroads run longer trains, this actually hurts the industry, because the unit train is actually delayed at the terminal while more of the manifest freight is loaded onto these longer trains that can be up excess of 1,500 or 15,000 feet, and then they go from place to place, and then they have to spend time unloading these cars specifically. I've actually seen this happen in Mankato with the CHS facilities, where these long trains, up to 3 miles long, can actually block portions of my district, those intersections, while they unload these trains. CHS kind of has to wait the waiting game for the ethanol to go to the ethanol plant, the raw product to go to the CHS plant, and stuff of that nature. And so I would ask for a no vote on this, and that's all I really have to say about it.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'm glad that Representative Brandt had a preemptive conversation with the Commissioner of Agriculture. If that is truly the case, then that would be wonderful, but I am not currently willing to risk our agricultural industry just, you know, hodgepodge here, nilly hearsay kind of conversation. I would like an actual analysis done to ensure that our ag industry is safe and sound into the future, and I think that this is an absolutely reasonable ask for this committee to perform the analysis to ensure that we are not, you know, punching agriculture in the nose when we shouldn't be doing that. That's the number one thing we should be doing in southern Minnesota, is protecting the agriculture industry. So I'd advocate very strongly for a yes vote.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Any further discussion? All right, seeing none, Mr. Sayoung will take the roll.
Chair Hornstein?
No.
Chair Hornstein? No. Vice Chair Tapke?
No.
Vice Chair Tapke? No. Lead Petersburg?
Aye.
Lead Petersburg? Aye. Representative Brand?
And votes no.
Representative Brand? No. Representative Elkins?
No.
Representative Elkins? No. Representative Fogelman?
Yes.
Representative Fogelman? Yes. Representative Hudella?
Yes.
Representative Hudella? Yes. Representative Cagle?
No.
Representative Cagle? No. Representative Kraft?
No.
Representative Kraft? No. Representative Murphy?
Yes.
Representative Murphy? Yes. Representative Nelson?
No.
Representative Nelson? No. Representative Norris?
No.
Representative Norris? No. Representative Olson?
Yes.
Representative Olson? Yes. Representative Centimera?
No.
Representative Centimera? No. Representative West?
Aye.
Representative West? Aye. Mr. Chair, the ayes are 6, the nays are 9.
With 6 ayes and 9 nays, the motion does not prevail. Thank you very much, Mr. Sayoung. Moving on to Representative Olson with the A20 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A20 amendment just removes the dictation of 7,000 some feet for a train length when it is discussing the transportation of Minnesota-made products. If you're talking about transporting goods across this country, it's important to not hinder anyone, but more especially if you're going to hinder no one, if you're going to hinder everyone else, you should not hinder Minnesota-made products. So what we're talking about here is corn, soybeans, ethanol, great agricultural products, but also many of the vast minerals that are in northern Minnesota. We have to ensure that we are not dictating to them that and slowing their pace of being able to produce, because every dollar that is made here in the state of Minnesota is one more dollar for our state and our people. And we should absolutely not stand in the way of Minnesotans, hardworking Minnesotans, and their ability to get their products to market. You know, a couple years ago, we had some issues with soybeans and China, and we were able to move our things here in the state of Minnesota much better, and we had a great production capability here. My cousins over in South Dakota, they had a basis that was minus a dollar and a half, and my basis was minus 10 cents. Because we have superb agricultural industry processing facilities here in Minnesota, we need to protect that industry. We need to ensure that Minnesotan-made products are able to get across the country and across the world efficiently and safely and on time. So I think that breaking a train in half in order to make sure that it gets to market is an inefficient way of selling Minnesota-made products. I'd ask for a yes vote, and I'd ask for a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Discussion. Representative Brand.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. On this one, too, I'm glad that the roll call is already requested, because I would have done that as well. So in doing just a little bit of research here on the taconite side of things, we already talked about the size of a load of grain cars, 110 cars, 6,500 feet. We have a wonderful international port of Duluth, where a lot of that stuff goes to international cities, because we have the ability to have that port in the Great Lakes. We also have a wonderful barge industry that also operates and does a lot to send our agriculture products down to markets south of here. And well, as long as the river is full of water, right? We had some issues with that a couple of years ago. But what I would say is this. In addition to what I said about the grain cars and how about what the limits are already, we're going to be well within the characteristics of the train length bill that we're actually talking about today. You know, there's two train providers that will send taconite to the port for loading onto a boat, which goes up and down the Great Lakes to wherever they need to take that and melt it down into metal. BNSF taconite trains can only take 6,300 feet worth of load, and that goes to the Superior, Wisconsin load docks. And so anything in excess to 6,300 feet, well, that goes into Lake Superior, it doesn't get unloaded. Over on the Duluth side of things, Canadian National, they can only operate at 5,500 feet. Anything in addition, well, you know, as you drive through 35 in Duluth, you see that the unloaders are above us on that bridge there. Either it goes in Lake Superior or it doesn't get unloaded. And so I would say this amendment is not sound.
Representative Norris.
Thank you, Chair Tapke. There's been a lot of discussion about things like federal preemption. This one, I believe, would almost certainly be unconstitutional under the Dormant Commerce Clause. That's a principle that says that under the U.S. Constitution, the federal government is allowed to regulate interstate commerce. The inverse of that is that states are not allowed to give preferential treatment to its own products or its own economy. As much as I would love to, you know, support Minnesota industry, I think it's great to support Minnesota industry. Unfortunately, something like this, there's a lot of case law from the U.S. Supreme Court on this. This would almost certainly be unconstitutional as a violation of the Dormant Commerce Clause.
Mm-hmm. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. So it sounds like I'm hearing that there would be an oral amendment that says that it excludes that and include, then everybody would be okay with it. No, I understand you're not going to be okay with this, but Representative Brand brought up a good point about barges and other things. You know, we don't, at least not, I'm not aware of any state-required mandate on how long and how many barges can be put together in a barge pack, primarily because the industry knows what the best system is. Going through the locks and dams, you've got to break them apart and put them back together again as well. And so that's really the piece that we're talking about. The industry tends to understand it better than the legislature does, and for us to put together a requirement based upon our perceptions is not right. And so in this bill, whereas you might be right, it may be unconstitutional, I have no doubt that it's going to be voted down. The point is that we need to keep talking about situations like this in which we try to usurp our belief versus nationwide or business-wide practices. And so this will undoubtedly be voted down, I think it's a discussion that we need to keep talking about. Thank you.
Closing comments, Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I always find it humorous when individuals will say, well, we think this is unconstitutional. They say it doesn't matter. The state of Minnesota can pay and the Attorney General can try and fight it in court. And then they come back with, well, you know, I think your idea is unconstitutional. So that's always a fun conversation to have. Well, we don't care if it's ours. We'll defend it. If it's yours, we think it's unconstitutional. With that being said, members, if what Representative Brand says is true and that the industry standard is not exceeding this maximum that he has identified, then you've got a solution looking for a problem. And we're looking to write laws for no purpose. You know, when no one is doing this, then why are we mandating that they don't do it? You know, it's having a list of rules. We're creating legislation to make ourselves relevant. Is that what we're attempting to do? If, in fact, this isn't happening, why are we legislating for it to not happen? We're wasting our time. We're wasting government money. Well, if this is in fact happening, then maybe that's where the discussion should be had. But if we're just standing here saying, you know, in case someone ever decides to do that, we want to make sure that we get ahead of the game and make it illegal. I would still advocate that this vote is for Minnesotans and Minnesota products. Whether or not it's constitutional, it's still for Minnesota industries. It's making a statement that you support Minnesota industry in here in your job as a representative. I would still recommend a yes vote, and then you can let the Attorney General fight for it, you know, like you're going to have the Attorney General fight for your other things too.
Mr. Siang will call the roll.
Chair Hornstein,
no.
Chair Hornstein, no. Vice Chair Tapke,
no.
Vice Chair Tapke, no. Lead Petersburg,
yes.
Lead Petersburg, yes. Representative Brand,
no.
Representative Brand, no. Representative Elkins.
Elkins, no.
Representative Elkins, no. Representative Fogelman.
Yes.
Representative Fogelman, yes. Representative Hudella.
Yes.
Representative Hudella, yes. Representative Cagle.
No, sorry.
Representative Cagle, no. Representative Kraft.
No.
Representative Kraft, no. Representative Murphy.
Yes.
Representative Murphy, yes. Representative Nelson.
No.
Representative Nelson, no. Representative Norris.
Yeah.
Representative Norris, no. Representative Olson.
Yes.
Representative Olson, yes. Representative Censormiro.
No.
Representative Censormiro, no. Representative West.
Aye.
Representative West, aye. Mr. Chair, the ayes are 6, the nays are 9.
With 6 ayes and 9 nays, the motion does not prevail. All right, friends, it's 10 o'clock, and we are going to take a short recess here to celebrate our friend Chair Hornstein. We've got a lot of folks who've come who don't normally come to transportation meetings, so welcome everyone to the glorious Transportation Committee. It's great to see everyone here. And so we, think Jared's walking in. So we have Kate that will be walking in just a few seconds here. And so I should actually say we're in recess for 10 or 15 minutes to celebrate Chair Hornstein. So as we know, yeah. So as we all know, this is likely and potentially our final Transportation Committee hearing of the year, and we've gone through all this together with Chair Hornstein, and I personally have been honored to work with him on and learn from him and him as my mentor on how we work in transportation in Minnesota and how we, and more importantly, just how to be a good human in this meat grinder that we call the legislature, and just learn from him as to how we work together and how we get things done. And it's just been a beautiful experience for me, and I really, really appreciate everything, Chair Hornstein, that you have done. Lead Petersburg, would you like to say anything?
Yes, Mr. Chair, if I could, before the esteemed Mr. Chair has an opportunity to speak. I have worked with Chair Hornstein my entire 12 years that I've been here. And the first year, we actually supported together the Corridors of Commerce program, which has been a very valid program. But my respect for him isn't because we agree on everything. My respect for him is in regards to how willing he is to listen and then tell me I'm full. No, I. but he's willing to listen and in a respectful way, and he never says no. He always has time to talk. I think he is one of those individuals that is more interested about the process and making sure that everything is done right, and still support his core values and the values that he represents and the areas that he really supports for us, not only his constituency, but also the metropolitan area and the entire state. He's made many trips even in greater Minnesota and has taken committee out there as well. And so he's done well, and I think he's what I would consider a well-rounded individual, even though he doesn't drive much right now. So, but I have appreciated his friendship over the years, and I hope to continue that. And, Mr. Chair, from my heartfelt thanks for all the work that you've done over these 12 years. I've known you, and before, you are an example of a good legislator, the one that I hope all of us should emulate as much as possible. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We'll have Representative Pagel say a few words, and then Chair Hornstein, if you'd like to say anything from there.
Well, all I really need to say is, Frank, you are my Bernie leader. And I, you know, I've learned so much from you, mainly on how to just navigate this place in kindness. And I think a lot of times that's really lost around here. And so I'm so thankful to be able to learn from you here the past 8 years, and we're going to miss you.
Would you like to say anything? Would you like not to say anything? This is your party, so you get to do whatever you want.
I am overwhelmed with gratitude. I just have had such a great experience with all of you, both sides of the aisle, and so many people that care deeply about the state and transportation. And I am just speechless. This is really wonderful, and I appreciate this so much. And it's good that we're taking a little bit of recess, and hopefully then we'll get right back at it. So.
no question whether we will or not. So just make sure to look around the room, Chair Horn, to see all the folks that are here for you. This is thank you, everyone, for coming and being here with us, and we'll have some cake and come down and say thank you, and then around, we're going to kick you out in 10 minutes at the least. So 10 minutes, get out of here so we can finish committee at the most, exactly. So we'll start again in 10:15. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much, Craig. I wish you the best.
No. That's what the ships are for. That's what the loop is for. You know, like yeah, there's the mileage. Maybe an ice cream. And then the conversation of the heart, those are the stars because we don't like ship like gallons and gallons of toxic material. This is really, really a lot of it. We're talking about public stations, Randall still has benzene in the ground body.
I really let's get me wrong. Well, we asked her to tell us something.
I had a great conversation with him last week. I asked him quite late, yeah, but he could. He said, oh. Whatever. I mean. This. Here's the challenge. Okay. I come back and said, this is my representative on the track. I really think I would actually do something like that. Here, really. Like, part of the reason why I voted for the township is because that money goes across the road, which helps get good. And I have to 100% believe that. And I had that last year. Townships get some funding too.
I mean, unless you want me to cut the cake, then it will.
But yeah, right. If we were to have all of them, they didn't have a cake.
I don't know. Man. I was going so far. I would
make a cake and go to the fucking choice. Yeah. Yep. Well, it's what it is. And I'll do it again on the floor.
Yes.
Well, did you do the first one?
I'm pissed off.
Get close. Kristen, you want cake before you go? Over there.
There was one term I was on. I was on it, but I got asked.
All right, we'll reconvene in just a moment, please. So, is this on? Okay. We'll reconvene in just a moment, so we'll be right back. So if everybody could get back to their spots, I appreciate it.
But you're just trying to minimize. the wisdom of
So he takes the plate part.
Thanks, Shane.
How long do we have? We're just going to go.
I love it. You need to be part of that. Study.
Yeah, I just, I mean, it was going to be Friday. I'm losing my mind.
Put them behind do the other operation.
Good job.
Okay, she's a little more.
You throw that U word out.
All right, as I finish eating my cake, we will reconvene. Transportation, Finance and Policy Committee hearing, and we will move on to the A21 amendment. And I believe that's Representative West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A21 amendment shifts $40 million from the NLX train to Duluth to Greater Minnesota Transit buses, particularly to help them deal with the electric transition that we've already talked about. Thankfully, in one of the Chair's amendments, he did ease the burden of that rollover. But it is still going to be very expensive, especially for these outstate transit systems that need a lot of help. Since NLX did not get its federal funding, that money is just sitting there waiting to be used for a productive purpose. And we should be using that money for Minnesotans, because that train will be a colossal waste of money if it ever gets funded. And it'll be a burden, like North Star Light Rail is now, long into the future. So let's use a tiny portion of that money to help Greater Minnesota transition to the electric buses. You know, my amendments, I do try and be reasonable and go for your priorities more than what I would want to do. So if we can do this, I think it would be good for Minnesota, good for Greater Minnesota, and right now that money is not even being used, so let's use it for a very good purpose.
Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So in the A31, we actually did make it so that the Greater Minnesota Transit wasn't included, and so what we want to do, you know, I don't think taking this from NLX, you know, they're not required, and so this is not needed.
Further discussion. Representative Nelson.
Mr. Chair, is this the A21 we're talking about?
The A21, yes.
Because as I'm looking at this, Mr. Chair, and I would urge a no vote on this, because this is taking money away from the Blue Line, which is not NLX, is what I'm looking at reading this. And, Mr. Chair, I'm rather disappointed in Mr. Representative West for doing this. The Northwest area and the North area of the Metro, we get screwed all the time. Lack of funding for transit, lack of funding for roads in our area. Highway 65 that we've heard a lot about in this committee. We ended up getting short end of the stick all the time up in this our area of the town. They're taking money away from the Blue Line, which is moving forward. The Hennepin County is working and along the process to get the federal approval of this. This is just another example, going back to my first or second term, when they needed money for us for Highway 62 in southern metro area, because they delayed the project a couple of years because of a mistake in the timing of it. They took the money from the Devil's Triangle, which is up in my area, that where three highways come together, and we were killing about one person every couple of years. And they were going to. We were promised by the governor at that time that that was going to be the first project restored when they got more money. Well, when we got more money, they were going to put it back at the bottom of the list to have to work all the way through. Again, another example of my area of town, the North area. And with Representative West understands that with Highway 65 and has been fighting for that, along with Representative Cagle, that this is just going to another example of taking money away from our area of town where we have poor bus service, we have poor transportation service, and we get constantly shortchanged on our highway funding needs. So I urge a no vote on this amendment.
Representative West.
Representative Nelson, you literally convinced me halfway through your remarks. I withdraw the amendment.
Amendment is withdrawn. The A21 is withdrawn. Now we go to the A27, which I believe is Representative Fogelman. Representative Fogelman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A27 amendment would change the requirements of the bill to use $3 million in trunk highway funds to pay for a greenhouse gas analysis and instead have the money be taken from the funding for the Northern Lights Express train to Duluth. It's already been mentioned several times that the federal funding didn't happen and this money is just sitting there. This would still allow the analysis to take place and leave the money in the trunk highway funds for what we need to be. There's plenty of work to be done with these funds the way it is. So I ask for everyone to support the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Fogelman. Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, this is just taking money away from transit projects, one that would definitely help the North Metro as well, spur some transit-oriented development. And so I would just recommend a no vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, closing comments, Representative Fogelman.
I think it makes common sense to use money that's just sitting there. So I've asked for a yes vote.
Thank you very much. With that, for the A27 amendment, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
The motion does not prevail. Moving on to the A8 amendment, Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is just a maintenance exclusion for the greenhouse gas assessment, and it's just looking for projects that are maintenance-driven, whether they're overlays, not full projects, just to slow it down a little bit and ask that they're exempted from the assessment part.
Thank you, Representative Murphy. Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy. So I'm going to recommend a no vote and actually ask you to consider to withdraw it when I explain a little bit about how this works. So these projects would not be trigger any analysis today because they're not capacity expansion projects. When the working group recommended moving to a portfolio approach, when it goes to a portfolio approach, mills and overlays still aren't going to increase greenhouse gas emissions. But because these types of projects are not so typically just mill and overlays, they often have maybe adding a striping for a bike lane or maybe adding a pedestrian facility. Removing this would actually probably hurt the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions side, especially in greater Minnesota. So I would ask for a no vote, and I would ask you to consider withdrawing because I think this will negatively impact greenhouse gas emission reduction opportunities in greater Minnesota.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm with you there up to a couple of things. One is that sometimes these mill and overlays are part of a project of expansion because they're projects that needed to be done in order for the expansion to actually work. And so when you say, well, they're not included because they're not part of the expansion, the portfolio process, or at least without a further definition of what portfolios is, the intent, I think, is that any project that's connected in around the area, and it could be even regional in regards to a particular project, would have to be included in the analysis. It doesn't specify that only that if a project is a major expansion, It doesn't say, and this is why this is need to be clarified, whether or not that doesn't also include other projects that are within that region for that portfolio. And because we don't define portfolio, there's a very big ability for us to have misunderstanding about what needs to be included. Does a portfolio include all of a particular district? Does it include just the particular area? We really haven't defined that. And so this amendment actually is one that says, look, when it's not specifically related, because, again, as you said, mill and overlay or maintenance is not included, it's important for us to put into the statute exactly our clarity. And that's the reason why I think it's important to have this particular piece in the bill.
Representative Murphy.
Yeah, I agree with some of the same. You know, the scope of it can still change. You know, if you decide you want to have a bike path or other things around it, and they're, or then they're in the area and they need to be incorporated in, it becomes part of the assessment. But it started out just needing to be an overlay. And so that's why I don't think it should be in there. And I think we should slow it down a little bit. Some of the things we talked about the other day, you know, the goals for greenhouse gas, we need to clarify what they are. Even when you look at the advisory committee and who's all on it, there's no elected representatives on that advisory committee. They're all appointed people. I think we need to slow it down a little bit. This is a way of doing that. It makes sense because of what Representative Petersburg said as well. And so I'd like to maintain the yes vote for the amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed, say no.
No.
The motion does not prevail. Moving on to the A9 amendment. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A9 amendment basically is just a discussion on further conversations that we've had regarding safety when you're discussing the carbon emissions mitigation report analysis. I'm really still concerned. I know that there's a portion that talks about safety, and that's a really important thing, but I need to have some safeguards within this bill that ensures that Minnesotans will not have to sacrifice immediate safety for potential later safety 100 years from now. You follow me on that? I understand the argument about what you're saying with climate and greenhouse gas emissions, but we need to ensure that Minnesotans are safe today, while at the same time ensuring that they're going to be safe 100 years from now. This will only ensure that the commissioner has the ability to immediately address safety issues on the roads without having to sacrifice human lives potentially for greenhouse gases. Now, this one goes for the corridors of commerce aspect of it. So the first amendment fixes, it looks at corridors of commerce, and then I'll have another one in the future that will broaden it to ensure safety. These two, the next two, I assume the next one after this, but these two amendments are entirely devoted to safety, to ensure that we can fix what's necessary immediately to save lives today, while we're still looking at saving lives tomorrow and 100 years from now.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Olson. Just a point, the saving of lives 100 years from now, if we start addressing vehicle miles traveled, those life savings happen much more immediately. On this amendment, on the A9, which is exempting corridors of commerce programs, so corridors of commerce is an expansion program. A similar, in many ways, type program is the wetlands mitigation. Corridors of commerce is not exempted from wetlands mitigation, nor are projects that are safety related. So I'm going to recommend a no vote for this for some of those reasons. And I'll also point out that the underlying bill has made it clear that we are to maintain our approach, our focus on safety. That is absolutely vital and key. And there is safety money that's applied through federal funds. Those are still being distributed and should be distributed in the ways they have in the past. So on this, but I need to recommend a no vote.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I understand where Representative Kraft is coming from. We have consistently throughout the day attempted to find solutions to things that are not currently problems. If what Representative Kraft says, my amendment, what his determination of the safeguards that safety has within his bill, if that's not a problem, well, I still advocate for a solution to it looking for that problem as we've seen today. So I would ask a yes, and I'd ask for a roll call.
Roll call being requested. Further discussion on the A9 amendment? Seeing none, Mr. Sayoung, please call the roll.
Chair Hornstein.
No.
Chair Hornstein? No. Vice Chair Tapke?
No.
Vice Chair Tapke? No. Lead Petersburg?
Yes.
Lead Petersburg? Yes. Representative Brand?
Aye.
Representative Brand? Aye. Representative Elkins?
No.
Representative Elkins? No. Representative Fogelman?
Yes.
Representative Fogelman? Yes. Representative Fudella?
Yes.
Representative Fudella? Yes. Representative Cagle?
No.
Representative Cagle? No. Representative Kraft?
No.
Representative Kraft? No. Representative Murphy?
Yes.
Representative Murphy? Yes. Representative Nelson?
No.
Representative Nelson? No. Representative Norris?
No.
Representative Norris? No. Representative Olson?
Yes.
Representative Olson? Yes. Representative Centimera?
No.
Representative Centimera? No. Representative West?
Aye.
Representative West? Aye. Mr. Chair, the ayes are 7, the nays are 8.
With 7 ayes and 8 nays, the motion does not prevail. I thought about moving around amendments a little bit more, but we'll still go with the A11 amendment, Representative
Perfect. Thank you, Mr. Chair. All right. So I know that one was a little bit narrow in scope to just corridors of commerce, so maybe that was a reason why you didn't prioritize safety for Minnesotans on the road. This one opens it up, but also provides a little bit more nuance to it. So this amendment, the A11, would provide a safety exemption if the Commissioner of Transportation were to say, hey, this is an immediate need, then that would not then require the mitigation, the analysis, and all this kind of stuff. It seems to me like it's a very minor addition to that already only 4 lines talking about enhancing safety or prioritizing safety. This would hardly at all change the bill. It would just do what, you know, in the Army we call it a warm fuzzy. It would give a warm fuzzy to me in the idea that we can ensure that safety is prioritized for Minnesotans here today. And I understand arguments maybe to, you know, we'll save lives tomorrow and the day after through your reduced vehicle miles, but let's ensure that we prioritize safety of Minnesotans on the road today. I'd ask for a yes vote. I'd ask for a roll call.
Roll call requested. Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Olson. While I would love to make you feel more warm and fuzzy, I'm going to have to recommend a no vote. And I want to make a few points. One is this cannot be a debate about safety on our roads now or in the future. They're both paramount. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm very comfortable with what's in the bill. The problem with your amendment is that this gives a discretionary out to the commissioner on which there are no guardrails. So, in effect, this can completely eliminate the effects of the bill. So I'm going to recommend a no vote on it for those reasons.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And earlier we heard the fact that, well, we don't have to worry about funding or anything for safety because there's federal funding for safety. Unfortunately, the greenhouse gas program here, the analysis and so forth, isn't predisposed to whether or not there's federal funding. So just because it's federal funding doesn't mean that the analysis and program that is set up here won't still exclude a particular project for it. So we have to be careful, and somebody, either the legislature legislates everything, or we're going to have to give some discretion. And so I think in this particular case, who is much better able to determine the immediate needs for safety than the commissioner who has information about that, rather than always giving to the legislature. So I think this is a reasonable request, a reasonable opportunity for the department, who has a little bit quicker response for what's going on than what we could do, and it seems a real reasonable amendment. So please vote yes.
Representative Kraft.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Petersburg. So I don't think the way you said the federal fund, I'm saying there are federal funds, there are safety funds that are being used. That we, as I said, safety is paramount. There are many approaches to dealing with safety issues. Putting a discretionary out in place that can basically, it goes against the entire legislation that we passed last session is inappropriate, and I'd ask for a no vote.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just the final comment before we roll to a vote. There is a little bit of a guardrail here with the commissioner saying that it identifies a priority for urgent traffic safety responses to traffic fatalities or serious injuries. So we are, in fact, trying to provide them with guidance while at the same time allowing them the latitude to quickly respond to the needs of Minnesotans today. I would advocate once more that we provide Minnesotan safety on the roads today, have that lateral that expanse to the commissioner saying we trust the commissioner to save Minnesotans' lives. I'd ask for a yes vote.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Sayang will take the roll.
Chair Hornstein.
No.
Chair Hornstein, no. Vice Chair Tapke.
No.
Vice Chair Tapke, no. Lead Petersburg.
Yes.
Lead Petersburg, yes. Representative Brand.
No.
Representative Brand, no. Representative Elkins.
No.
Representative Elkins, no. Representative Fogelman.
Yes.
Representative Fogelman, yes. Representative Hudella.
Yes.
Representative Hudella, yes. Representative Cagle.
No.
Representative Cagle, no. Representative Kraft.
No.
Representative Kraft, no. Representative Murphy.
Yes.
Representative Murphy, yes. Representative Nelson.
No.
Representative Nelson, no. Representative Norris.
No.
Representative Norris, no. Representative Olson.
Yes.
Representative Olson, yes. Representative Centramira.
No.
Representative Centramira, no. Representative West.
Aye.
Representative West, aye. Mr. Chair, the ayes are 6, the nays are 9.
6 ayes and 9 nays, the motion does not prevail. Moving on to A-12, and A-12 is Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would move the A-12. Again, this is in talking about something that we reestablished or at least verified exactly the Department of Transportation Community Roadside Landscape Partnership later on in the bill. It seems like that ought to be one of the areas that we include in regards to analysis. And so basically this amendment just puts them in as one of the areas of natural occurring incidences in which we evaluate the greenhouse gas program. I would ask for a yes vote.
Thank you very much, Representative Petersburg. Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Petersburg. So I'm going to recommend a no vote on this, and although I like this program. The thing is, if activities under this program were to result in reduced greenhouse gas emissions on an ongoing basis, they would already be included in the language. I'm not in favor of adding the program to it, because if you actually look at the program, the primary purpose of it is aesthetics, which are very important but are not tied to this. So for that reason, I'd ask for a no vote.
Further discussion. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. And aesthetics are one of those things that we use for recapturing of carbon and other things in regards to plants and other foliage as well. So it certainly has an impact into greenhouse gases, and one of the reasons why I think it's an asset that we should consider it as well rather than ignoring it. And so I would continue to ask for a yes vote. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed, say nay.
No.
Nay.
No.
The A-12 does not prevail. Moving on to the A-13, Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This has to do with the advisory group for the greenhouse gas emissions standards and analysis. So what this would do is it would add one county engineer and one city engineer to the Impact Assessment Advisory Committee. It makes sense to me that we would add someone who has actual boots on the ground and not just their head in the potential carbon emissions atmosphere clouds. And I'd request the roll call on this.
All right. We have another roll call requested from Representative Olson, Representative Kraft.
Mr. Chair, Representative Olson. Did you say in the clouds?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Representative Kraft.
Yes. Thank you. So I'm going to recommend a no vote on this. So right now the language does say that there should be two people from local government. I would rather there be more flexibility in local government participation. I absolutely recognize the value of engineers in this, and they were really impactful in the working group that came up with these recommendations. But there certainly could be a situation where maybe in the for the best of the committee that it's a planner or a sustainability person from the city. So I'm going to ask for a no vote to leave the maximum flexibility to have that committee be best constituted.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. At one point, I was a small-town mayor. I did, in fact, fill some potholes, but I believe that the only carbon emissions I did while I was doing that was, you know, intaking oxygen and exhaling carbon dioxide. So that was about the only emissions I knew I was performing through that pothole filling. I think that providing latitude or expanding this pool to say that a potential small-town mayor who doesn't know a thing about carbon emissions with road construction would be an error. I think that the individuals who on a daily basis deal with the building, maintaining, and creation of roads is someone who would definitely add value to this. And we're still keeping the individuals from the community, so you can still keep that broad, overarching, let a small-town mayor who knows nothing about fixing roads be on the committee, while at the same time have someone who knows what they're talking about. I'd request a yes on this.
With that, any further discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Sayoung will call the roll.
Chair Hornstein.
No.
Chair Hornstein, no. Vice Chair Tapke.
No.
Vice Chair Tapke, no. Lead Petersburg.
Yes.
Lead Petersburg, yes. Representative Brand.
No.
Representative Brand, no. Representative Elkins.
No.
Representative Elkins, no. Representative Fogelman.
Yes.
Representative Fogelman, yes. Representative Fudella.
Yes.
Representative Fudella, yes. Representative Cagle.
No.
Representative Cagle, no. Representative Kraft.
No.
Representative Kraft, no. Representative Murphy.
Yes.
Representative Murphy, yes. Representative Nelson.
No.
Representative Nelson, no. Representative Norris.
No.
Representative Norris, no. Representative Olson.
Yes.
Representative Olson, yes. Representative Sensenmura.
No.
Representative Sensenmura, no. Representative West.
Aye.
Representative West, aye. Mr. Chair, the ayes are 6, the nays are 9.
With 6 ayes and 9 nays, the A13 amendment does not prevail. Moving on to the A14 amendment, which we have from Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would move the A14, and I think this is the last one before we get to the vote. So maybe I can convince you of this one, because this one I think really is something that I think we need to... Because we never know what the future is about, right? I mean, it hasn't occurred yet. Unless we have a time machine that allows us to come back, we won't get that information. And so this bill really, amendment does is saying that, look, in the future, there may be technological changes and so forth in which we may be able to accelerate the use of electric vehicles or some other zero emission programs, even maybe a flying car or two that might impact it. How can we make sure that that also gets included when we do the analysis of a particular project? Because if those automatically reduce vehicle miles travel and so forth at a much accelerated pace than what we had originally had information on before, it should be included as one of the mitigating opportunities. And basically that's all this bill does. It says if in the future there is more accelerated usage of zero emissions, that we ought to make sure that that gets included in the analysis. And so that's very simple. It should be very easy to do. So I ask for a yes.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Petersburg. So I like this one, but I'm going to recommend a no vote. Let me explain why. So with this piece of legislation that I brought forth, I really tried to stay true to the recommendations of that working group. And one of their recommendations was to put in place a technical advisory committee that would then debate and be able to add mitigation or offset actions like this. And so I want to stay true to that, and I think this one can be recommended to them and they can look at it, but I'd rather do it that way than in the space of a few hours add something to the legislation. So with that, I'm going to ask for a no vote to stay true to the recommendations from the Technical Advisory Committee. No, excuse me, from the Impact Mitigation Working Group.
Further discussion on the amendment. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. So I think I came close. So maybe there's more time between now and the floor. Maybe by that time I'll convince you that maybe this should be included in it. But it is one of those things where we need to keep reminding ourselves that things move forward. And even the recommendation of the council or the committee in regards to what we put forward is a work in progress. And I think the legislature has an opportunity here to say, hey, we know that there are future things there. Make sure you don't limit it to that, because whether they accept that or not, accelerated use will, I'm sure will be part of what they decide anyway. So to make sure that it's in there, it only just reinforces the fact of it. So I would still ask for a yes vote.
Thank you, Representative Peterberg. Representative Petersburg, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed say no.
No.
No. The motion does not prevail. All right, thank you, everyone. We are through all of the amendments, and we'll now begin with discussion. Chair Hornstein, would you have anything you'd like to say on the bill before we start to have final discussion on it?
Well, thank you, members, for a great discussion. I'll have lots of things to say at the end because I'm still a little overwhelmed by this. But, you know, I do appreciate the robust discussion. You know, we did make some changes to the bill based on, you know, the hearings that we had. And, you know, appreciate, again, everybody's involvement here. But I'll have more to say at the very end.
Anyone else have anything to say? Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Chair Hornstein, you know, I know the amount of work that you put in and the amount of time that you've been there. I'm going to say most of my comments when we debate it on the floor, because we're just going to move it on that way. Thank you for keeping me informed of what's going on. I think there are still some issues with this bill that we still have concerns with, and we'll be talking about them on the House floor. So,
looking forward to it. Any other discussion? All right, seeing none, closing comments. Chair Hornstein.
Well, thank you again. This is all overwhelming. I'm still a little bit overwhelmed by the recess that we had. But I think there's a few thank yous I want to just underline. You know, we've had some incredible freshmen on both sides of the aisle and people in their second term who have just contributed so much. I think of Representative Sensabria, Representative Kraft. You know, we have Representative Fogelman, Representative Murphy. Thank you so much, Representative Gudella. I've also enjoyed Lead Petersburg working with you, and thank you for your kind comments and our excellent communication over the years. Joe Marble, you've done amazing work. Appreciate you so much. And I neglected to thank Tenzin, our CLA, who's just done incredible work. You know, as well as Matt Bauman, Kyle Schwab. And I think we've got the two best researchers and fiscal staff that we could ever hope for. And so, Mr. Burris, Mr. Lee, thank you so much for all of your patience and work over the years with me and others on the committee. I thank you so much. You know, this is our last meeting. You know, we may, you know, need to convene for other purposes. I don't anticipate that. You know, this is a bill that I'm very proud of. We, you know, continue our work on safety issues, jobs, climate that we started over many, many years. Again, appreciate so much the input from both sides of the aisle. And, you know, I look forward to, and then we've got great leadership on both sides of the aisle who will continue great work in transportation over the next coming years. So with that, I would ask for a yes vote.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
I would just ask for a roll call. And if we do have another meeting, I'm in favor of another party, too.
Perfect. So with that, Chair Hornstein renews his motion that House File 5242 as amended be referred to Ways and Means, with House nonpartisan staff given the permission to make technical changes as they deem necessary. Mr. Sion, will please call the roll.
Chair Hornstein.
Aye.
Chair Hornstein.
Aye.
Vice Chair Tapke.
Aye.
Vice Chair Tapke.
Aye.
Lead Petersburg.
No.
Lead Petersburg.
No.
Representative Brand.
Brand votes yes.
Representative Brand.
Yes.
Representative Elkins.
Yes.
Representative Elkins, yes. Representative Fogelman,
no.
Representative Fogelman,
no.
Representative Hudella,
no.
Representative Hudella,
no.
Representative Cagle,
aye.
Representative Cagle?
Aye.
Representative Kraft?
Aye.
Representative Kraft?
Aye.
Representative Murphy?
No.
Representative Murphy?
No.
Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Representative Norris?
Aye.
Representative Norris?
Aye.
Representative Olson?
No.
Representative Olson?
No.
Representative Centimiro?
Aye.
Representative Centimiro?
Aye.
Representative West?
No.
Representative West?
No.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, the ayes are 9, the nays are 6.
With 9 ayes and 6 nays, the House File 5242 as amended is passed. So, and as well as referred to Ways and Means with House nonpartisan staff given permission to make technical changes as they deem necessary. Chair Hornstein.
Again, thank you very much. Vice Chair Tapke, I so appreciate you as well. You've been, such an incredible presence in this committee, and Chair Cagle with all of your work, and the Sustainable Infrastructure Committee also wanted to thank both of you, and just again, so filled with gratitude for the opportunity to serve and to work with all of you, and we'll be writing the next chapters of this bill as we move forward.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Any further discussion on things? With that, we are adjourned.